Hello everyone and welcome to SystemGorilla.com. My name is Seb and today I want to talk to you about diagnosis and why this is important. We want to find the root causes of your problems. If you've ever struggled with finding and resolving your root causes, then stay tuned. I wish you a lot of clarity and good entertainment. Sometimes there are these problems that nobody knows a solution right from the start. Just sometimes they happen. But they happen in very different circumstances. For example, in the automotive world, when your car comes to the workshop and the technician doesn't really know from the start what to do. For example, in your doctor's office, if you have caught up some very weird disease and the doctor doesn't really know what to give you. And also in your company, if you are seeing that things go down and you try to figure out what is the root cause of it. Every time we need a good diagnosis. For what? Well, in the case of the car in the workshop, to make sure that we're repairing the right part. So the one that's broken. In case of your doctor's office, so that your doctor can give you the right medication or therapy. So this is what he uses a good diagnosis for. And what about the business topic? Well, if you're assuming the wrong root causes, you're gonna take the wrong steps to make your business flourish again. So make sure you're looking at the right thing. I think now it should be clear to everybody that good diagnosis is the first step to resolving complicated issues. So let's deep dive into a short technical case study that I've brought for you. Don't you worry, it's gonna be easy to understand. So we just heard that a good diagnosis can really pinpoint towards the root cause of your issue so that you can basically fix it. Yeah, but what about a bad diagnosis? If you have them in place, it might measure something that's not necessarily connected to your root cause, but then in the end point to something wrong. So it's not the root cause and you're fixing the wrong thing. Make sure this is not happening. Why? Because you're gonna fix it again. It's not a permanent fix in this way. It's just temporary because in the case of a workshop car, you're gonna get the customer out of the workshop until his light is illuminated again, the bad mill light malfunction indicator lamp. So he's gonna return at one point. And do you want that? No, you want to make them happy with first time right actions in your workshop. So let's start. Back in the days when internal combustion engines were still a thing, I came across a major issue. There were thousands of vehicles that had a certain fault code entered. Fault code means the car itself detected there's an issue, but as I mentioned before, it was pointing at the wrong root cause. So, what was the issue at first? An internal combustion engine is basically a machine that mixes fuel with air and has a little spark in it so it can ignite and produce temperature, pressure, and therefore the motion that we're expecting. But what if you're not in the right mixture between fuel and air? In our specific case, we were having deviations of the injectors. For everybody non-technical, an injector is nothing else than a little valve. It opens very quickly, and every time it opens, it lets a little fuel just flow through it. But what if this amount of fuel is not the appropriate one mixing with the air in your cylinder? Well, then it will not ignite. So you will not have that temperature and pressure rise that you're actually wanting. Bad. What happens then is a so-called rough running. The engine is running rough. You can really feel that sitting inside of your vehicle. It's shaking you more than you want and it shakes the chassis. One can really measure that. So customers, even when there's no light illuminated, would come to the workshop and say, well, it just runs like crap. Well, they wouldn't say rough running. That's what the mechanic knows now. And if he went into the fault storage, so the self-diagnosis of the vehicle, he would find a certain cylinder injector was going bad. Now, next step would be, okay, this one is bad. We're gonna replace it. We're gonna test it again for a short amount of time and then send the customer out. And you know what? It was the wrong injector being replaced every single time. To diagnose a system means to know how it works properly and how it doesn't work properly. One calls this failure modes. So how is it supposed to fail in case there's something going wrong? And on top of that, what are the symptoms occurring? Because usually we're only looking at symptoms. Rough running in that specific case was a symptom. If you're going coughing to your doctor's office, this is a symptom. The root cause lies somewhere else. Let's go into the injector part. I was telling before that a conventional engine is basically a mixer of air and fuel that is then later on being ignited. So if you want to know what the mixture is or the stoichiometric ratio, if you want to measure that, it's easy technically. Take a lambda probe or so-called lambda sensor. It will tell you what the deviation from the stoichiometric ratio is for your specific mixture. Basically, it tells you, are you going rich, so is there much fuel in it, or are you leaning out, so is there too much air in it and too little fuel? Well, that could help knowing about your injector, couldn't it? So most straightforward way would be to have the injector inject the fuel, mix it with the air, and have a lambda probe right behind it to see how good and bad the mixture would fit. Yeah, that's what they do in race cars. They would have for every cylinder a single lambda sensor, because for a race car, it's tremendously important to hit the right mixture ratio. Why is that? Well, the car could burn down if you're not getting rich enough, meaning you're not cooling the engine enough with fuel. That's fortunately not something that we're doing in today's world with our passenger cars, so these systems work differently, and here comes the problem. I give you the example for a four-cylinder. There's four injectors next to each other that go into four different cylinders next to each other. Each cylinder takes its own air, and then they produce not only pressure rise and temperature rise, but out comes exhaust gas. Everything that was combusted, basically. And then this exhaust gas is being let together and mixed again for all these four cylinders. They had their different cycles working next to each other, but in the end, the information about each cycle, which is the mixture ratio that we're looking at, is being mixed together, averaged over time and over space. And then after all of that sits the lambda probe, sits that sensor that shall tell you, well, this was cylinder one, and this was cylinder two, and this was three, and this was four. Well, that's not gonna work if the probe is only seeing the biggest mix of all the fuel that went through and all the air that went through. How are you from that measurement instrument now getting to a point where you can tell, well, this is the one faulty and the others are good? Your medical doctor has the answer. It's called active testing. So you're basically performing tests that would not occur in regular operation to figure out results that would not occur in regular operation to figure out what's going wrong in the system. And with that info, then fix the root cause. Yeah, active testing. How are we gonna do that in case of our injectors? At first, we're letting that engine idle. So it would be in that regular state of operation. That means you would see all the faulty stuff and all the mixing exhaust gases and just know it's off. It's off, we don't know why and where it came from. Second thing, turn off all the controllers. Your doctor would tell you, you have to get a little loose, you have to relax, you have to let me do the reflex tests, not you yourself. Same thing about an engine. You're telling it, you know what? You go into base operation, which is the equivalent of breathing and perhaps a little thinking for humans. And you're gonna idle in this operation, and I will just look how this is different to your regular operation. So that's the second test step. We had the regular operation and then an operation without any controllers. Now comes the active part. Now comes the reflexive testing. What we are gonna do one by one, we will leave three cylinders the same, meaning they will inject the same amount of fuel that they did before. And another cylinder, the one that we just selected, we will tell them to inject a different amount of fuel. We call this trim, telling him, I'd like to have 5% more or 10% more or 5% less, something around this area. What is this thing now gonna do? In that whole mixture of all the other cylinders and their air and their fuel or respective exhaust gases, this one little cylinder that we have been activating is now bringing in a deviation of fuel mass. Either we've told him to get in more fuel or less fuel. And overall, this will affect the mixture ratio of all the exhaust gases. Why is it? You were taking 4 times air from 4 cylinders, 3 times fuel from cylinders that were not affected, and then 1 time a fuel mass that you were making deviate. Put all of that together and you will see that it affects the exhaust gas mixture ratio. So you're gonna see even that little change back there at the lambda probe. And you know what? You know exactly where that change came from because you were the one initiating it. You were telling the injector to deviate its fuel mass. So you are having a certain expectation. What's the outcome? For example, you told him, please lean out the mixture mass by 10%. And you divide these 10% lean out versus 4 different cylinders. In the end, your overall exhaust gas mixture should lean out by roughly 2.5%. That should be common. Yeah, if you don't see that happening, then there's something going on with the behavior of that actuated cylinder that we are looking at. Yeah, but how do you pick that one? Because you didn't know from the start this is the faulty one. And you had 3 more to go. Yeah, easy. The same thing I was just telling you about, like actuating a single cylinder, leaving all the others plain like they were without being controlled in any way. And then looking at the exhaust gas mixture richness, you're gonna perform that very same step for all the other injectors as well. So doing it for cylinder one, perhaps enriching it a little, perhaps leaning it out a little, doing it for cylinder three, enriching it a little, leaning it out a little, taking a measurement, doing it for cylinder four, enriching, leaning out, taking measurement, and then doing it for cylinder two, enriching, leaning out, and measurement. You would wonder now, why is he saying, I do it for cylinder one, three, four, and two? Well, because this is the ignition order your regular conventional engine is running by. So it fires first cylinder one, then three, then four, then two. But it doesn't really matter which way you're gonna do your diagnosis because you're gonna get through all of them anyway. By the way, same thing can work out for 8 cylinders, 3 cylinders, 2 cylinders, and 12 cylinders, the ones that everybody needs. Summarizing what we did so far, we had our engine sit there, it was idling, we took off all of the controls that were making the thing run at least a little bit okay, brought it into a state of actuation where we were influencing each single injector, so the object that we wanted to diagnose, and then trimming it, and then taking measurements step by step, following through all the different cylinders. If we have done that so far, we have received a protocol of measurements. And each measurement itself is having a little part of the story in it. But You will have to combine all the info to know what's going on. Therefore, engineers usually use matrix equations. This was what we were doing here at the same time, and I'm showing this in my patent that I was also linking next to that podcast. Out of that comes a measurement and analysis protocol that tells you this cylinder has an injector that's okay, this one has an injector that is 5% off, and this one is perhaps 10% off. Now back to the technician. He knows all of that. He knows a regular injector should have a deviation of maximum X percent and can now compare it with the results that he has gotten from my testing. Nice. So now he really knows which injector is the correct one, even if the original fault code that the customer came in and was mad about because that fault code was triggering his malfunction indicator lamp. Now we know the truth and we're gonna replace the right part. Let me summarize shortly. Some problems need sophisticated diagnostics to be sure you're pointing at the root cause and not just any symptom. For good diagnostics, one would have to know how a system works. Your doctor does know how your body works, and your technician should know how your car works. And if he doesn't, well, then let's get him one of my automated diagnostics. If you want to find the root cause with diagnostics, aggravate the problem, make it worse. Intentionally trim the system in a way that it misbehaves the worst way you could imagine, because this way you're really gonna find where the bad guys sit in the system. Make sure all the measurements that you do to your system are reversible so that you can go back to a state of safe operation. An example how a doctor should not do it, he should not perform your knee reflex test with the little hammer while you are standing. This is not a safe operation. And last but not least, use nice equations. Not everybody's gonna like this, but a good equation really gives you the safety that all your measurements go in the right way and are interpreted so that there's no ambiguity. If you like that kind of a podcast in between technical exploration and some entertainment, come back to systemgorilla.com. Also, if you like the way that I tell you about my patents, have a look at Google Patents. You're gonna find more than 40 of them that I've done in my technical career. Executive advice and sparing are best to be gotten by systemgorilla.com. My name is Seb. I hope you had a lot of clarity and you enjoyed this podcast. Enjoy your day.